The MTA is considering a 5.5% fare increase to shrink its annual deficit. That would be the highest fare raise in almost a decade. The MTA is also considering using fewer cars on the LIRR trains and reduced weekday service on that rail. MTA board member Samuel Chu urged the board to vote to exhaust federal COVID funds. Chu says this will offset part of the deficit, but more importantly, send a signal for help.
If we want this system to operate like we've grown accustomed to it for our entire lives, we're going to need help. We're not going to be able to do this on our own. And I think the responsible thing for us to do is to send that signal as quickly as possible.
It's unclear how much LIRR ticket prices would rise if the fare increase happens. Public hearings on that won't happen until after February. Hey, you're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. HIV cases on Long Island have outpaced the rest of New York. John Gomes announces a bid for Bridgeport mayor against his former boss. And Governor Hochul will soon pick a new chief judge in New York's highest court. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. A report issued on the eve of World AIDS Day today shows new HIV cases on Long Island have outpaced the rest of New York. WSHU's J.D. Allen explains.
Long Island saw 17% more new cases of HIV in 2021. New York saw an uptick of almost 10%. Nearly 70% of new cases are in people under the age of 40. The report also shows Black and Hispanic patients are diagnosed at 7 and 4 times the rate of their white neighbors, respectively. Dr. Sharon Nachman is chief of the Division of Pediatric Infectious Diseases at Stony Brook Children's Hospital.
We did a really good job messaging HIV risk in the past, and that population heard it, understood it, and we're seeing very few new cases in that demographic. But our messaging to younger adults, male, perhaps from different demographics, they're not hearing that messaging at all.
Nachman says the rise in cases last year is also due to patients delaying medical appointments after many healthcare facilities closed in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. J.D. Allen, WSHU News.
A former aide to Bridgeport Democratic Mayor Joe Ganim has announced he's challenging his former boss for the city's top job. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports.
John Gomes is a 51-year-old Bridgeport Democrat who supported Ganim's comeback as mayor in 2015 and re-election in 2019. Gomes was rewarded with a key position in city government, but that position was eliminated by Ganim a few months ago. Gomes is of Cape Verdean descent. He says he's running to create a more inclusive city government.
We're going to walk the streets, wear out some shoes. We're going to have blisters on our knuckles, but we're going to carry the message that we're here for one Bridgeport.
And spur economic growth.
We need to put shovels in the ground, cranes in the air to create a consistent and stable economic development for the city of Bridgeport. All right.
Gomes spoke to supporters after submitting paperwork to run for mayor at City Hall. He is the second person to express an interest in challenging Ganim. The other is Lamont Daniels, who was the director of neighborhood initiatives for former Mayor Bill Finch. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Criminal justice and civil rights organizations are weighing in on who Governor Hochul should appoint to chief judge. That's after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Like I mentioned before, today is World AIDS Day, and at Connecticut College in New London, over 70 panels from the AIDS Memorial Quilt are on display through Sunday. The memorial is composed of more than 48,000 panels dedicated to more than 94,000 individuals. It's the premier symbol of the AIDS pandemic and the largest ongoing piece of community folk art in the world. A federal lawsuit against Yale University was filed yesterday by advocacy groups on behalf of current and former students at the school, alleging discrimination and harmful practices against students with mental health disabilities. The Washington Post reports that in recent years, Yale has experienced an explosion in demand for mental health counseling. Last year, 5,000 Yale students sought treatment, a 90% increase compared to 2015. In a statement, Yale says they've made changes in their policies and will continue to work towards increasing resources. A former director of food services for the New York Hempstead School District pleaded guilty to committing wire fraud and receiving funds through an illegal kickback scheme. Sharon Gardner steered roughly $1.2 million worth of contracts to a local Franklin Square restaurant to provide pre-packaged breakfast meals to the school district. She received a total of $120,000 from the contract proceeds through fraudulent payroll deposits. Using that money for travel, a leased car, and new furniture, prosecutors are calling for Gardner to be sent to prison for up to 5 years. Governor Hochul has until the start of the winter holidays to make her mark on New York's highest court, the Court of Appeals, by choosing a new chief judge. As Karen DeWitt reports, a coalition of criminal justice advocates want Hochul to pick someone with a background in fighting for the state's most vulnerable.
Former Chief Judge Janet DeFiore resigned in August amid an ethics investigation. In New York, the governor picks from a list of candidates from a judicial nominating commission to replace the chief judge. The seven names include the current acting chief judge, Anthony Cannataro. He, if chosen, would be the first openly gay chief judge in New York's history. Others on the list include Jeffrey Oing, a mid-level appeals court judge who could become the first Asian American to lead the court, and Alicia Ouellette, the dean of Albany Law School, who has a background in disability rights. Governor Hochul, speaking for the first time since she received the list of names on Thanksgiving Eve, says she wants to appoint an exceptional person.
I want someone who can do a number of things. You know, make us proud. Let the rest of the nation know that we are looking for the caliber of individual that can be tapped for the Supreme Court someday.
Hochul says she's also looking for someone with administrative experience who can help revive a vast and complicated court system and deal with backlogs after the courts were shuttered during the pandemic.
This chief judge has to have the experience and the ability to bring back a system that has been shuttered almost and start doing that, because that has a collateral impact on criminal justice. When people who have been accused of crimes do not get their day in court, either they're found innocent and they're back, or they're found guilty and they receive the consequences. That hasn't worked the way it's supposed to for the last 2.5 years.
The governor, though, is not tipping her hand over which name she favors. 135 criminal justice and civil rights organizations are weighing in. They say the court's track record under appointments by former Governor Andrew Cuomo leans conservative, with judges often siding with prosecutors or government and choosing to hear fewer cases that could have set precedents in defendants' rights cases. Peter Martin is with the Center for Community Alternatives, a group that works with communities disproportionately affected by incarceration.
This court right now is really unacceptably biased in favor of the prosecution, the government, and that needs to change.
Martin says just three of the seven people on the list would help balance out the court. They include Corey Stoughton, a longtime civil rights attorney who's worked for the Legal Aid Society, Judge Edwina Richardson Mendelson, a judge on the Court of Claims. She oversaw anti-discrimination policies under DeFiore and would be the first African-American woman to lead the court, and Abby Gluck, a professor of law and medicine at Yale, who was part of President Biden's COVID response response team. After Hochul picks someone, the state Senate has to confirm the governor's choice. Martin says if Hochul chooses someone they don't believe would counterbalance the court, the groups plan to lobby progressive-leaning state senators to vote against the governor's pick.
Members of the Senate have responsibility to their constituents. We hope and we trust that Governor Hochul will nominate someone really excellent. But if she doesn't, we're going to be calling on senators to do what's right by their constituents and what's right by all New Yorkers and voting no on an unacceptable nominee.
According to the rules, Hochul will announce her choice between December 8th and December 23rd. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or anytime online at WSHU.org or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare, and ensure all your favorite WSHU programs continue to be here in the year ahead by making a donation to WSHU or becoming a sustaining member. All the details are there for you at WSHU.org. Have a great rest of your evening. I'm Sabrina Garone. Talk to you tomorrow.